This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, and with me, Julian Ng, with the top business stories of the day. In our crosshairs, China, as it deals with corporate debt, and I think the big question that will constantly be asked is, can the Chinese government rescue the economy? Does it have full control over it? Also, as a subject of discussion this morning is Warren Buffett, because Donald Trump invoked him in the last presidential debate as a way of hitting out at Hillary Clinton. We're going to come back to that later. But let's look at what's happening in China. Corporate debt is at an alarming rate, some 160% of GDP now versus 100% in 2008. Now, the Chinese government apparently has laid out guidelines for a debt for equity swap between banks and companies. But is this a good idea, Julian?
Yes. So instead of a loan, they're making rules to allow the banks to swap it for shares. And we see that among the companies that owe a lot of debt, it's not just the usual state-owned enterprises, which is the usual punching bag for, you know, international commentators as well as local commentators. You know how we need to dismantle the SOEs, they say, but also a growing proportion of private enterprises, and that amount of debt from that growth is so alarming over the past few years. And I don't think this is really a good idea for the banks, and the banks themselves feel that it's not a good idea as well, because this is really risky for them. Instead of getting back loan repayment and interest, this is shifting their business to something of an ownership. Now, which bank would know what company to own and what not to own? And it becomes so much more dangerous when you give an out to corporations when they borrow. It really reduces their discipline, because at the end of the day, they can say that instead of repaying the bank, I'll just issue shares to the banks. And this is, to me, quite dangerous for the economy.
Okay, so if you're trying to get into the mind of the Chinese government, are they trying to basically help corporations that are in trouble rather than let them go down, in which case it's a kind of a lose-lose situation all round? This is, as you rightly pointed out, it is risky, but it's some way of bridging perhaps a slowdown in the Chinese economy, saying, okay, you get the equity now. Hopefully, when everything improves, you could, you know, exchange it back for the cash. That otherwise, you just have non-performing loans.
Right? I don't think that you can spur economic growth just by this transfer, because the debt has already been issued. It's already in the system. And basically, you're just changing the ownership of this debt. It would not spur economic growth. What it can do is to artificially remove these bad loans from the bank's books, so that you can encourage the banks to go out there and lend further money, because these bad loans are no longer in the bank books. But, you know, there is these advisors to President Xi Jinping, who warned that these swaps can keep zombie companies alive. And that is the bad thing, right? That does not spur economic growth. The fact that zombie companies are kept on a life support system and allowed to go on doing their business, it's not good for the economy. These companies should go bankrupt. It should be dismantled from the economy.
Okay, so, and I get the point that, you know, it's important to let companies fail. And this is basically capitalist free enterprise.
Yes.
You can succeed and you can fail, and you should be allowed to fail.
That's right.
But for the government of China, and for any government, when companies fail, when industries die, the implications are social and political, right? I mean, you have people who are employed in industries. I mean, think of what's happened to steel in Britain. I mean, if steel dies, in steel production dies in
steel
Britain.
Steel is dead in Britain.
It is, right? Yeah. But it's sort of actually it's dying. It's not completely dead. And for the British government, there are concerns
about the
workers, right? So
yeah,
the Chinese government, well, I mean, to the extent it's still socialist.
To add to that, the Chinese government is firing or sacking 1.6 million people in the coal and steel industry over there. So that's a step they're taking towards moving on, right? If you don't move on, I think over the long term, this is going to be bad for the economy as well. Of course, there are strategic industries that you can focus on, which would benefit the country over the long term. But if you're supporting a sort of decrepit company and industry, what good does that do to the economy apart from just sustaining these workers for an indefinite time period? They can retrain, they can be allowed to be on some kind of a social program. I think that's better than supporting the I think social welfare is better than corporate welfare.
Okay, so it's, I agree with you. I think there is good sense in saying, we'll invest in the individuals who are now unemployed and help them maybe, you know, deal with that. But there's this other issue. Are those companies doing well, doing badly because it's just that the world economic system, or is it because they are badly managed? I mean, sometimes you could be doing badly.
It's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both. And we know that China has slowed down a lot since the financial crisis because, you know, the world is not growing very strongly. Everybody around the world is struggling except for some of the pockets of growth in Southeast Asia. The rest of the world is just struggling to eke out very small percentages of growth.
So hard choices for the Chinese government. Now, Warren Buffett is in the news, and because Donald Trump invoked him, as he did many individuals during that presidential debate that happened yesterday, our time. And here he is, Warren Buffett, that is, speaking about the question of taxation sometime before the debate.
You will learn a whole lot more about Donald Trump if he produces his income tax return. And so that's why I'd like to make him an offer. An offer I hope he can't refuse. Is that he can't do it, can't release it because he's under audit. Now, I've got news for him. I'm under audit, too. And I would be delighted to meet him any place, any time between now and election. I'll bring my tax return. He could bring his tax return and just let people ask us questions about the items that are on there.
That was Warren Buffett speaking about taxes. In some ways, you know, he's really come out in support of Hillary Clinton and against Donald Trump. What do you make of this challenge to Donald Trump?
What I make of it is that I think the rich are going to be the subject, very hot subjects of this election because the United States is thinking of where to get money to fund a lot of social programs that they have. I mean, we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars, I guess not least influenced by the utterances of Bernie Sanders, right, when he was still nominee hopeful at the time. So he managed to change the conversation and now people are talking about how to help out, right? Because we're seeing unprecedented levels of inequality in the economy. But this is a challenge. This is a challenge from one billionaire to another about how much taxes you're paying. And Warren Buffett gave some details of the taxes that he paid. Of course, this is a billionaire. We're talking about a person who has, what, tens of billions in assets. And all he paid, Warren Buffett, though, about $5.5 million in taxes, right? And he had an income, a so-called income of only $11.5 million. And that's a lot of money to us, but that's pittance to somebody like Warren Buffett. But his charitable contributions were $2.5 billion. I don't know if that's a sort of tax, like that subscribes to the Republican idea of a small government so that you can, on your own, personally decide to give back to society in a way that you see fit. All right, he gave away almost all of his wealth. In fact, there is a headline here from Forbes saying that the amount of money that Warren Buffett gave away is 75% of Donald Trump's wealth.
Okay, look, this is interesting because if you make an argument for small government and where how money is best used when you want to have it in a function in a kind of social and charitable way, that's one thing. But Donald Trump, if you remember that first debate, Donald Trump, as Trevor Noah put it, kind of had these, he's got a truth machine in his head that somehow it's like Tourette's.
Yes.
And he can say, well, because I'm clever. Basically, he's justifying tax evasion, you know, tax avoidance. And it sounded like Donald Trump was saying to his audience, I'm clever because I didn't pay much taxes.
I don't want to just oppose Donald Trump just for the sake of doing it, but he is right. Every rich person in America uses or abuses this system to avoid tax. I mean, who wants to pay taxes, right? So as a result of about $1 billion of taxes a long time ago, Donald Trump has been able to avoid taxes for the next decade or two. And this is what he's accusing all the other rich people of doing. And even, I guess, Warren Buffett's defense of the fact that Buffett pays taxes. I mean, Buffett pays very little taxes compared to the amount of wealth that he has. But so is Trump right or wrong? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the question you ask, who wants to pay taxes? I mean, in Scandinavian countries, people pay taxes. They pay huge, very high levels of taxes, and they get really quality social provisions. And that's a situation where people say, I'm happy to pay my taxes.
Exactly. Because I'm getting, they get something back in return. Right.
I mean, will Malaysians say that? If you asked and did a poll of Malaysians, say, are you happy to pay taxes? Do you think you're getting bang for your buck when you return money to the government? Are they giving you social provisions and, you know, building a country that you like to see? I mean, I think that's a reasonable question.
Those are the questions that the Americans would ask as we head into the elections as well, because Hillary Clinton has plans to tax the rich very heavily. I mean, 65% estate taxes. And she also wants to improve on these other programs like healthcare programs and so on.
Well, we'll be coming back with more top business stories after this at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.